The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And now, welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM and our sister stations, Vibe City 105 FM and Sky 99.5 FM. Welcome to Dr. Brittany Dean. Welcome.
Hi, Tuska. It is so great to be back in studio. I'm so happy to be here today. I mean, even though the weather outside is a little bit cold and dull, we will have a great show because today is Women's Wednesday.
It's Women's Wednesday.
Yes, it's Women's Wednesday. Something that, you know, a lot of women do experience, but we don't talk about frequently, and that is maternal mental health. Now, when we're talking about maternal mental health, we're referring to women who are pregnant, women who have given birth, and even in that post-pregnancy period, you know, women do experience not just physical symptoms, but mental health symptoms as well. So it really is something that we need to touch on. It's something that is very important. And do you know that last year, it cost the world $16.5 billion?
Wow.
Yes, maternal mental health. And that is just for treatment and management of something that can be prevented or even something that can be managed by lifestyle factors. So it is something that we need to discuss. A lot of women who are going through these mental health disorders after they have given birth, you know, we don't really get to touch a lot on it, and a lot of them don't come forward because they don't know, you know.
Probably some people don't even know that they're going through that period.
Exactly, and some people don't know that they are going through a certain condition, etc. So it really is important to educate the public on it so that if they pick up on certain signs, maybe in themselves, maybe in a mother, a sister, you know, that they seek help or they give assistance to that person as well.
And so the first question is, what is maternal mental health and why is it so critical for the well-being of both the mother and the baby?
So maternal mental health actually refers to a mother's emotional and psychological well-being, and this can be during pregnancy, during childbirth, and even in that postpartum period right after pregnancy. I would say that it definitely encompasses a range of different conditions, and these things would include, most commonly what we do see is anxiety or depression in new mothers, and even something called psychosis, which we will touch on a little later. Now, I would definitely say that having good mental health or being in a good health, good mental space after somebody has given birth, it's critical because it really affects the mom's ability to not only care for her baby but care for herself as well. And it also affects her ability to bond with her newborn baby as well as manage any of the stresses of motherhood. Now, when we're talking about maternal health issues, untreated maternal mental health issues definitely will have long-term consequences for both mother and baby, including for the baby. We do see children with developmental delays as well as behavioral problems. And now Bass is in the building for his favorite day. Yes, it is Women's Wednesday, and today we're talking about a very important topic, and that is maternal mental health. And some people don't even know that they can be suffering with mental health conditions right after giving birth.
Is that what you call postpartum depression?
So, yes, postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, and of course, postpartum psychosis, which is something that a lot of women don't even know that they are experiencing, or, you know, maybe the husband will pick up cues, or a family member may pick up cues, but it's important for the general public to know what signs and symptoms to look out for, especially in somebody who's pregnant, somebody who has just given birth, or even, of course, newborn mothers.
Right. Now, does it have anything to do with how your pregnancy term was like? Certain things may have happened, may have triggered it, or because some. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always tried to understand it. I mean, a mother carrying a child for all those 9 months, you think they would mm-hmm. bond with them and that kind of thing, and they wouldn't want to harm the child. But of course, we've had instances where you know it's really
so. Really and truly, it is a lot to do mm-hmm. with environmental stresses, a mother's emotional and psychological well-being during that pregnancy stage, as well as during the stage of childbirth and right after in that postpartum area as well. So there's a lot of different factors, including biological, emotional, and even those physical factors that are involved in women having these mental health issues. And like you mentioned, of course, the most common ones that we do see is postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression. So, I mean, a lot of women, definitely after birth, yes, you will have a flood of emotions because you have all these hormones that are running through you. Remember, pregnancy is a very hormonal related instance in your life. It really is something that triggers a lot of hormonal release. And because of that, women do tend to experience mood swings in pregnancy. We tend to experience cravings in pregnancy. And of course, a lot of emotional ups and downs. So you do see pregnant women who do have that mood swings. One minute they're crying and then the next minute they're happy. And it really is something that is natural and normal because of those hormonal factors.
All right. So you spoke about, of course, the common signs that they have postpartum depression and what new mothers and their families should watch for.
Right. So I would say some of the common signs and symptoms that we do see in postpartum depression specifically, if mommy is experiencing persistent sadness or a low mood for a very long or an elongated period of time. I mean, of course, after giving birth, some women do experience the baby blues, which is different from postpartum depression. I mean, the baby blues really and truly is a common experience affecting up to about 80% of new mummies. So you will expect to have those mood swings, that anxiety, that sadness, irritability a few days after giving birth, but they're usually mild and I would say that they resolve within 2 weeks of giving birth. Mm. But in postpartum depression, it's definitely more severe, more persistent, and it affects 10 to 20% of new mothers. Mm. Now, we do see and we do tell mommy to look out for, we tell any family members that is with mommy that she should look out for, would be that persistent sadness. It's lasting more than 2 weeks after giving birth. And of course, if mommy has a low mood and she has lack of interest in daily activities, things that she once enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, yes, you will experience fatigue and lack of energy. But of course, if it is very persistent, lasting more than 2 weeks, definitely something that you should be concerned about. And if you're having a lot of difficulties sleeping or sleeping too much even, I mean, all these things you will experience as a new mother. But once it is very severe and very persistent, then we're going to the realm of something called postpartum depression.
But is it something you could pick up from before? For example, like, let's say a woman is naturally down and depressed, and I would not pursue a relationship with a woman like that to make her a mother. I mean, that you can't expect that thing to turn over if somebody is naturally like that.
Of course. So I definitely would suggest if somebody is depressed or has anxiety prior to becoming pregnant, they do get the help that they need for before becoming pregnant. So if you are diagnosed with depression and diagnosed with anxiety, the risk actually increases for you to develop postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety, and in some instances even postpartum psychosis. But we really do see that more with actual or other psychotic disorders such as bipolar disorder, etc. But I definitely would suggest that if somebody is diagnosed with depression and anxiety, that they seek the help that they need before becoming pregnant. But of course, not everybody can control the circumstances in which they become pregnant. And it is something that you definitely still have to look out for during pregnancy, during childbirth, and in the postpartum period.
Mm-hmm. Of course, folks, we're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangin 106.1 and Sky 99.5 FM. And even though we're talking about this topic, we do welcome your medical questions at 622-2257. And you could WhatsApp us at 306 or 388-1065. 388-1065. So how common is the postpartum depression? And are there certain factors that increase a woman's risk?
So, like I said, we do see postpartum depression in about 10 to 20% of new mothers. And I know the percentage is small, but when you look at that compared to a population, 10 to 20% is a very large population of new mothers, right? And I would say that there are several factors that we look out for that increase a woman's risk for developing postpartum depression. And that would be, like I mentioned before, having that history of depression or even any other mental health conditions. If they have a lack of social support as a new mother. So, you know, there are new mothers out there who do not have that social support, who don't have that family system, and they're doing it on their own. So these things can lead, or these environmental factors can lead them to developing that postpartum depression, especially if they have that feeling of unwantedness or not being supported during the pregnancy stage. And of course, if they have a life that is very stressful or high levels of stress or any stressor in their life that can trigger that postpartum depression will put them at a higher risk of it. And even if somebody experiences complications during pregnancy and any complications during childbirth, that can be an emotional stressor for them. So even thinking back to that point actually has been proven to increase your risk of postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression. And there's even something called postpartum PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, where some women who have who've had some sort of trauma during childbirth or even some sort of trauma during pregnancy, they think back to this point and that actually puts a lot of stress on them, causing anxiety and depression. And of course, we have to mention the hormonal and the biological factors that come into play with postpartum depression. Because when we're talking about depression in a normal person as well, we definitely do see that there are hormonal factors, you know, a decrease in your serotonin levels, a decrease in your dopamine levels. So if you have that plus the hormonal changes coupled with pregnancy, definitely there's an increase in the risk of you developing these postpartum mental health conditions. And if you have a family history of mental health issues, we do see women suffering with that postpartum mental health issue as well. And even in cases of an unplanned or an unwanted pregnancy, we definitely will see, not in all cases, but of course in a lot of the cases, if your pregnancy is unplanned or unwanted, we do see some women suffering with stresses and causing these postpartum depression.
So when you see symptoms like these happening, and in terms of protecting the child, is it best to, you know, separate the child from the mother? How do you operate in terms of not making the mother feel worse or annihilated, in terms of you have to have somebody there watching the child,
right?
Because it doesn't always result in a hurting the child, but it could be neglect,
yes,
other things. So what
so,
do you do?
So we do see a lot of mummies who are unable to bond with baby if they are suffering with these maternal mental health conditions. So in cases like this, it is imperative that the mummy does get help. Because especially if you're suffering with something like postpartum psychosis, some women do experience intrusive thoughts, hallucinations, delusions, which can end up in some sort of harmful behavior towards baby. So at, in those instances, it is best to separate mommy from baby and get mommy the help that she needs. In postpartum depression or in postpartum anxiety, we do try to get mommy to bond with the baby as much as possible. But really and truly, it is about helping mommy to get through this anxiety stage or this depression stage so that she is better, she's in a better mental state so that she can bond with baby in a better way.
So what role, well, you mentioned about the hormonals, what role does the hormonal changes play in affecting a mother's mental health during and after pregnancy?
So we see hormone levels increasing or fluctuating during pregnancy and even during childbirth. So during childbirth, you have a release of, you know, oxytocin, all these different hormones that come into play in the childbirth process itself. And in the pregnancy process itself, we do see a lot of fluctuation of other different types of hormones. But I would say that it plays a significant role when it comes to maternal mental health. The levels of estrogen, progesterone, all these dramatically increase during pregnancy. And then what we see is that right after delivery, there's a very sharp drop. So that alone, or that in that sudden hormonal shift in itself, could definitely contribute to a lot of mood swings, irritability, and even feelings of depression. And that is why we do see commonly 80% of women suffering from what we call baby blues or postpartum blues. But like I said, those things are usually mild and resolved within the 2 weeks. But when we have other hormones coming to play, for example, the thyroid hormones, these things are actually what regulates energy levels and mood, not just in women, but in men as well. But we do see a fluctuation in the thyroid hormones, which leads to a lot of fatigue and depressive symptoms in a lot of women post-pregnancy.
Is this something that happens, like you say, 2 weeks directly after pregnancy, or could it be months after, years after?
So really and truly, postpartum, when we say postpartum, we usually diagnose it, you know, right after pregnancy. In terms of 2 weeks after pregnancy, we see the symptoms being persistent. And especially if a woman has been experiencing symptoms right after pregnancy and it has not alleviated after a year or two, we have another word for that known as persistent depressive disorder, right? But all these things, if these symptoms are coming on after pregnancy, it really is dependent on when these symptoms occur. Is it right after pregnancy? Is it 2 weeks after pregnancy? So there are criteria for diagnosing certain things, and it really is dependent on the person if they have had depression or they have been diagnosed with depression or anxiety prior to being pregnant, or if it's just something new that has come on due to the pregnancy and due to all these hormonal changes or other stresses during the pregnancy stage.
Mm-hmm. And besides postpartum depression, what other mental health challenges might new mothers experience, such as anxiety or postpartum psychosis?
So I would say that while we do see postpartum depression and anxiety more commonly, we do have other conditions as well that a lot of people may not even know they're experiencing. I mean, it may be rarer for them, or rarer for us to see these other conditions, but it is something that we do have to be educated on, something that we do have to keep up on, because these things can be emergency conditions. So we did explain the postpartum depression before, but just to touch a little bit on the postpartum anxiety, we see these new mothers experiencing excessive worry, restlessness, irritability, and they may even get a lot of physical symptoms. So if their heart is beating out of their chest, or even feeling dizzy. And we see that it really affects about 10% of new mothers. But I mean, postpartum depression definitely is something that we see more commonly, but postpartum anxiety is also something that we have to look out for. And like postpartum depression, if the person has been diagnosed with anxiety prior to being pregnant, we do see an increased risk in postpartum anxiety as well. Now, there are other conditions. Like I said, they will be less rare, but it is important for the general public to know about it and to pick up on certain cues. And, you know, if mommy needs to get the help that she needs to get, then it is best that you find some assistance for her. So another one that we very rarely see, but it is something that does occur, is postpartum obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that you can experience that after pregnancy, and this would be the involvement of intrusive, repetitive thoughts and, of course, compulsive behaviors. So I don't know if anybody has ever seen somebody who has OCD before or know somebody who has experienced OCD before. But really and truly, after pregnancy, I would say that the symptoms or those intrusive thoughts become about 5 to 10-fold because of all these hormonal changes that mommy is going through. For example, a mommy might actually have an overwhelming fear of accidentally harming her baby. And in cases like these, it is important or imperative for mommy to get some sort of psychological or emotional assistance. And then the one that a lot of people fear is that postpartum psychosis. And like I said, it is a rare condition, but it is something that is very severe. And it actually affects 1 to 2 per 1,000 mothers. And that sounds like a little bit, but really and truly, it once we do see it, it is something that can be very severe. And we do see women experiencing hallucinations, delusions, even extreme agitation. They may even get violent and have some sort of erratic behavior. Now, this one especially, we constitute it as a medical emergency that requires some sort of immediate treatment, because in states of hallucinations or delusions, mommy may have the ability to harm the baby. So we want to ensure that mommy gets the help that she needs in an instance like this. So if somebody is realizing that mommy is, you know, not being herself and having some sort of hallucinations or delusions, things like that, it is important and imperative that you do get mommy some help.
Or is it something where, let's say a mother has this postpartum depression with the first baby, and let's say second baby, mm-hmm. could it happen again? Or is it, are there cases where it just
yes.
doesn't?
So what we usually say is that if you experience something in one birth, it's not uncommon for you to experience it in another birth as well, right? So if mommy has experienced postpartum depression in one birth, she can experience it in another birth and in every other birth after that. But it is important and imperative for mommy to get the help that she needs, whether or not she has been, I mean, of course, whether she has been diagnosed with that specific condition, so that we can avoid her becoming sick or having that mental health issue again in another pregnancy. So there are medications that are safe for breastfeeding, etc., that mommy will be able to take once she is diagnosed.
Like, could it pass on?
Yes. So if there's a family history of mental health conditions, there's a higher likelihood that a new mother can experience the same mental health condition as well. There are genetic, or I would say more family-oriented components of mental health disorders that, you know, we don't have that direct link yet, but we do see. Stand by, my mom, stand by, go. A person's brain function and mood. So not just, you know, if you are pregnant or you're a new mother, but of course that is what we see generally, that omega-3 fatty acids definitely are anti-inflammatory, and we will get a lot of improvement in the brain function and of course your overall general sense of a mood. And of course nutrients like folate, iron, vitamin D are definitely important both during and after pregnancy. Of course, we talk about the folate, etc., for proper development of baby. But of course, the iron is important for pregnant mothers because we do see a drop in the iron or a drop in your hemoglobin during pregnancy. But it is important even after pregnancy so that you maintain proper brain function and circulatory function. And exercise, I definitely would say regular physical activity, even something as gentle as doing a light walk or yoga does have its benefits. And really and truly, what we do see is that people who tend to walk or even do yoga or even do any sort of exercise, they reduce their symptoms of both depression and anxiety because it releases endorphins. I mean, everybody knows that exercise releases endorphins, which are natural mood elevators. So it is imperative that if you are a pregnant woman, there are certain exercises that are safe for you to do. So certain aerobic exercises that are safe for you to do during pregnancy. And of course, these are things that you want to discuss with your obstetrician and your doctor during pregnancy so that you maintain a healthy lifestyle while you're pregnant as well. I mean, it is important for you and for baby that you maintain a healthy lifestyle. And of course, after pregnancy, like I said, those postpartum blues definitely is something that we do see in a large percentage of women. So exercising regularly will help you to release those endorphins and elevate your mood. And we did mention sleep, which is something that I would say is very vital. But it's of course challenging for new mothers because,
yeah, because
you know,
I have a friend who just had a baby and I think the baby has gripe.
Oh,
and
gosh.
She said that baby is just crying.
Yes.
All night crying.
So it really and truly is something that will be challenging for a new mommy. And what I would say is that this sleep deprivation could definitely exacerbate any symptoms of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you find certain strategies like napping while baby is sleeping and of course accepting help from others, so that you can get rest when needed as well. Because, I mean, if you are not resting, you can exacerbate those symptoms and you're not going to get the best outcome for both you and baby. So lifestyle factors, definitely a big plus when it comes to managing any symptoms of maternal health conditions.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, of course, how can... What are the social and emotional risk factors that can increase the likelihood of the maternal mental health issues?
So when we're talking about social and emotional risk factors, I would say that those are two of the most important things that we can bring to light when addressing maternal mental health issues. And some of those factors would include that lack of support that we talked about earlier. It has been proven that women who lack some sort of emotional or practical support from partners, family, or friends are more likely to experience those mental health issues because they have to take on a lot of stresses. The stresses of pregnancy, the stresses of having baby and taking care of baby, and they are unable to take care of themselves as well. And of course, we see women who suffer with postpartum depression and anxiety. Some of them even have relationship stresses. If they have some sort of conflict or lack of communication within their relationships, that can actually lead to feelings of isolation and, of course, feelings of anxiety, because that by itself is a stressor in their minds in terms of how are they going to take care of baby if they cannot resolve a conflict between them and their partner as well. And some women also have, I would say, unrealistic expectations. So, you know, a lot of women struggle, or they have this societal pressure to be what we deem the perfect mother. And this would lead to a lot of feelings of inadequacy, a lot of feelings of guilt, etc. Because there's no such thing as a perfect mother. And really and truly, if you do look at most women who have given birth, they're not, it's not something that you can perfect. You know, having a child or having a newborn baby, it really is something that throws you out of your comfort zone, because you are not just caring for yourself anymore, you are caring for something else and someone else. So it really is something that you have to adapt to. Nobody comes out of, you know, it's like if you try to play the guitar the first time you pick it up, it's not easy to do that. So becoming a mother, it really is not an easy task, and it's not something that you can perfect. You know, once you can take care of baby, once you can take care of yourself, that should be okay enough.
Mm-hmm. Of course, folks, you're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sandgate 106.1. And like I said, even though we are talking about, you know, these issues, postpartum depression and maternity, mental maternity health, you could still call in with your questions. What about the changes of the body? When a woman gets pregnant, her body changes in so many different ways. Can some of these also lead to these issues?
So I would say that the physical changes during pregnancy, most women do expect it. The only thing is that usually if a pregnancy is unwanted or unplanned, that is when a woman does not expect it, and those changes may play on her psyche a bit. But most women do expect the changes that you go through in terms of the physical look, in terms of, you know, your stomach getting a little, your belly getting a little bigger, because you have to care for baby and baby has to develop, etc. But there are other physical things that certain women do experience. Of course, the swelling of the legs, all these different things that they do experience may cause them to have some sort of emotional trigger or some sort of psychological trigger. But really and truly, when we're talking about these postpartum depression and anxiety, it's due to more of those emotional and social risk factors that we discussed. And one thing that I forgot to mention is a history of trauma. For some women, you know, if they've had a history of abuse or trauma, these things tend to resurface during pregnancy or even in the postpartum area. And this could lead to, of course, increased vulnerability to having mental health issues. And remember, we discussed postpartum PTSD as well. If they've experienced trauma in pregnancy or in that birth period as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. How does a mother's mental health impact her baby's development and overall family dynamic?
Right. So it really has a lot to do with her ability to care for not only herself, but her baby. So if your mental health is not in a proper headspace, you do not have the ability properly to care for yourself and for baby. So if somebody has a maternal mental health issue that is untreated, this, like I said before, it will lead to a lot of difficulties in bonding with baby, which will impact a child's emotional and even cognitive or brain development. And, you know, people, we tend to think that babies don't really remember anything, but babies are emotional creatures. You know, there's a trend that's going around now with some babies you play a certain song for them and they automatically start to cry. And that is because babies have, they do experience empathy. And because something is sad, they tend to cry with it. Babies are emotional little creatures. And
let's just take a call. Mm-hmm. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To you and the goodly doctor there. Yesterday there was a similar topic being discussed in terms of baby mother-child relationships, especially in the young stages. One view was that when a child begins to cry a lot, you would probably check to see if they're hungry, they need a diaper change or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the old grandmother's theory that even after all that, after you check on thing and the child continues to cry, there's a kind of balance that you shouldn't always pick them up because they will start to manipulate you. That is one view. The other view was that you should pick them up anytime that they start to cry and whatever. I hold the view that there's a kind of balance that even children in the very young ages, they tend to develop habits of trying to manipulate their parents, even at a young age. So I believe there is a kind of balance that you should watch it, pick them up as necessary, do all that is possible to help them stop crying, but look out for their manipulation. But some people held that babies cannot begin to manipulate people. And in closing, I want to say that there's this USA philosophy that you should pick them up and whatever. And I am very concerned about USA philosophy and rearing children because they seem to be failing and heading down a kind of disastrous path, pretending to come with these modern age philosophies of knowing everything, and it's turning out to be a total disaster in terms of child rearing. Mm-hmm. It's developing children that shoot, kill everybody, and sue the parents and decide what they want to do and what kind of thing. So, just let me get your point of view if it's on topic. Thanks.
So, that is really in something that we do see debated a lot. You know, do you pick up a baby if the baby is crying? And this is, I would say, dependent on what is the cry about. You know, once you've ensured that they're not hungry, if they are not experiencing any other conditions, you know, like you said, some babies cry because they're experiencing gripes. Some babies cry because they're teething. And really and truly, it is fixing the what is the reason for the cry. And when we do see manipulation, it really is in those toddler years. You know, we call them the terrible twos. And a lot of toddlers tend to like to get their way. So they cry and they throw tantrums in order to get their way. And I have seen a lot of instances where parents do leave baby to cry and they just cry out themselves and they cry themselves to sleep. And that it does work in some cases, but really and truly it is dependent on the parents in terms of their parenting style. You know, if they want to show empathy and love and they, or if they want to show tough love to the child. But I would say that it is about striking a balance, like he said, you know. You do need balance in situations when you're dealing with children because they are not as developed as adults. So the way that you treat them is the way that they expect the world to work as an adult. And definitely, I can't, you know, you can't tell a mummy that she's not, she can't pick up her baby if the baby is crying, or you can't tell a mummy that she should just leave baby, etc. So it really is about the parenting style. Once you are not harming baby, that is what is most important. Mm-hmm.
What about women who refuse to breastfeed? Is that a sign? I know some just a natural cause because, you know, they just don't want to, but is that a sign as well?
Well, once there is some sort of a struggle with bonding with baby, some women can experience a lot of problems with breastfeeding. There's no actual data yet, but I'm sure there's research that is coming out in terms of some people having issues with breastfeeding that are physical, linked to sometimes maternal mental health conditions. So anxiety and depression may cause mommy's inability to breastfeed in certain instances. But in certain instances as well, it could be nothing due to a maternal mental health condition. It could just be because mommy's having problem producing and mommy has a physical condition that is causing her to not be able to produce enough breast milk for baby. But in terms of breastfeeding, we always do recommend breastfeeding because you provide some sort of immunity or immune support for baby. Remember, their immune systems are not yet developed. So having that breast milk provides some sort of immunity for them.
So what treatment options, including therapy and medication, are available for mothers struggling with mental health issues during or after pregnancy?
So we do see that, or we have research that shows that therapy can help mummies who suffer with mental health conditions such as that postpartum depression and anxiety. Something like cognitive behavioral therapy or even interpersonal therapy. These are effective strategies that have data behind it that have proven that it is effective for treating that depression and anxiety in the postpartum area. This will help mommy to manage any sort of negative thoughts, develop any coping strategies or, you know, proper coping strategies to deal with their mental health conditions and even improve their communication with their loved ones, be it, you know, baby or with the family. Because while we were discussing before, you know, that mental health condition, it really does cause mommy to not be able to bond with baby. But more than that, we do see children of mothers with untreated depression are at a higher risk for behavioral problems, even developmental delays, and sometimes emotional disorders as well. And of course, these maternal mental health issues could cause some sort of a strain on relationships with their partners if they have other children, and even create a stressful home environment for everybody that is involved. So therapy definitely helps to improve those coping strategies within the household with mommy and baby and with mommy and her other loved ones as well. There are medications, like I mentioned before, certain antidepressants, particularly a class that we call selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are commonly described in this postpartum depression if mommy is diagnosed with postpartum depression. They are generally, I would say, considered safe for breastfeeding mothers. But of course, decisions about being medicated is always a discussion that has to be made with a doctor. You know, you can't just go and try to diagnose yourself and try to take medications on your own. Of course, these medications are prescription-only medications, and these are things that you need to discuss with your doctor. So if you have experienced any signs and symptoms of postpartum depression, anxiety, or even psychosis, it is imperative that you do get help. And of course, I would always suggest that support groups are something that you should have or should have in your corner for that emotional and mental health support as well. So having support from other mothers who have experienced these similar challenges, it can be incredibly beneficial to learn from them, learn their coping mechanisms and coping strategies as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, 11 minutes away from 1 o'clock, lunchtime doctor, final lunchtime doctor for the week. Of course, today is Wednesday. We're talking postpartum depression and other mental maternal issues. But is there mental paternity? Just
I would say that some fathers who are now fathers, it's more of emotional and physical stress, because remember, they may not be experiencing the hormonal indifferences that women do experience. But there are studies that show, or even instances where fathers actually do experience the same sort of mood swings and irritability that women do face. Of course, it may be at a milder form. But some studies have shown that, you know, mommy and daddy do experience these same sort of mood swings, irritability, cravings, etc. We don't have like full data behind it yet, but some fathers, especially if they are diagnosed with depression and anxiety prior to mommy being pregnant, some fathers may have a worsening of their symptoms as well.
They're true that, but men do put on weight. They put on weight.
The same sort of weight. Well, I would say that it is true. I don't know the mechanism behind why, but I can theorize that, you know, when a woman has all these cravings and she eats all this junk food, etc., you know, the man automatically is just going to eat the same thing as well, unless, you know, they have a set goal on not gaining some sort of weight. So, but you do see men putting on those extra few pounds when a woman is pregnant. And I would like to think it's probably because of eating similar foods. Yeah.
Okay. Are there safe and effective ways to manage postpartum depression? True, well, you mentioned lifestyle changes like the nutrition, physical activity, or mindfulness practices.
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, you know, there are several lifestyle factors that you can take into consideration when trying to manage any sort of postpartum mental health disorder. And yes, we did mention the nutrition, of course, eating a balanced diet, plenty of fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains, everything that supports overall health and mood. And of course, omega-3 fatty acids is something that we do see being repeated throughout a lot of maternal mental health, you know, conversations. And these things are found in fishes like salmon, and they are particularly beneficial for mental health purposes. And like I mentioned before, the physical activity, light exercises, walking, these things can alleviate symptoms of depression by boosting those endorphin levels, and it does improve the quality of a person's sleep as well. And of course, mindfulness practices. So meditation, deep breathing, progressive muscle relaxation. These things have been proven to reduce anxiety and improve a woman's emotional overall well-being. So there's even something that is called mindfulness cognitive behavioral therapy. And of course, you need to go to a certified therapist, psychological therapist for this. It's usually a structured program that has shown effectiveness in preventing depression relapses in women. So remember how we were speaking about how some women may have that depression relapse in subsequent pregnancies? This specific therapy has been proven to show a decrease in those depression relapses.
Mm-hmm. All right, we do have some questions coming in here. So let's play a voice note here. Let's listen up to this.
Good afternoon to you, Bass, and good afternoon to the goodly doctor there. I would like to know if someone is taking Xarelto, if that person can drink the chamomile tea. Is it recommended? Thanks.
I wouldn't say that it is recommended, but it should not have an effect on the medication that you are taking. So yes, it is okay to drink you know, your tea, etc., if you are on that specific medication. But of course, I would not recommend anything that causes you to excessively bleed, because that is a medication that sort of causes your blood to be a little bit thinner. And you want to stay away from things like NSAIDs, etc. And of course, you want to do any sort of prevention practices to ensure that you don't get dengue, because there's a severe form of dengue that we mentioned before called dengue hemorrhagic fever that causes you to bleed excessively.
All right, another question coming in here. I got an HbA1c test recently, and the result was 5.9. Do you recommend that I use metformin to lower the sugar level in the blood?
No, I recommend, because it is not within the realm of you being a diabetic yet, but this is more in the realm of pre-diabetic, that you do lifestyle changes. So, of course, you want to look at your diet, you want to look at your exercise regime, and if you can't get a dietitian on board to help with any sort of meal plans that you may need. So starting to take medication before necessary really is not recommended. You know, the first step really is those lifestyle changes. So make sure that you try to do that to lower your HbA1c as well as lower your RBS or your random blood glucose as well.
Mm-hmm. 4 more minutes to go. Hey, how can healthcare providers assist in early detection and intervention of maternal mental health issues, and what should mothers expect during these assessments?
So, of course, I would say that it is imperative for us healthcare providers to know about these conditions, to know that early detection and intervention is key and crucial in the role in, you know, managing these mental health conditions. So, of course, regular screening for depression and anxiety during pregnancy, and, of course, having open discussions with the patients about mental health during these prenatal and postpartum visits, it really is essential so that we keep updating them on how, like, what to look out for, what are the symptoms, the signs and symptoms that you need to especially assess yourselves for. And of course, referrals. It is imperative that if mommy is struggling with a mental health condition, that we are able to refer mommy to a mental health professional, to any sort of support groups that we may see fit, etc. So definitely maternal mental health, it is important for us healthcare providers to have that sort of role in mommy's life if she's experiencing that. And one thing I definitely want to say is that maternal mental health is vital for both mommy and baby. And of course, we mentioned that it encompasses conditions like postpartum depression and anxiety. And of course, early detection through screening protocols, support from us as healthcare providers, and of course, effective management with therapy, medication, and of course, lifestyle changes that we mentioned, proper nutrition, exercise, and sleep are key in managing these conditions. So, of course, it is also important for us to reduce the stigma that is surrounding maternal mental health conditions. And we always want to encourage open conversations, because I would say that it is crucial for us to have these open conversations to help mothers seek the care that they need for these mental health conditions.
All right, and finally, we just have about 2 more minutes. What self-care strategies can new mothers implement to maintain or improve their mental health during postpartum period?
So, some of the self-care strategies that I would say for new mothers would be, one, getting proper rest, prioritizing sleep, even if it means napping throughout the day, or even asking for help with night feedings. Definitely get your rest. And nutrition, eating regular balanced meals to maintain your energy and mood is key. And exercising in the gentlest ways possible. Gentle physical activities will help to release those endorphins and boost your mood, and of course reduce stress. And having a proper social support, so staying connected with friends, family, support groups, will provide some sort of emotional support and reduce any feelings of isolation. And practicing mindfulness is definitely key as well. Meditation, yoga, and even journaling for some new mothers can help manage stress and maintain proper mental activity.
Huh. All right, folks, so that's it for show for today. Lunchtime Doctor, heard right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1 and 0.5. Join us again next Monday, where Dr. Brittany Dean will be in. Do enjoy the rest of your day, rest of the weekend, and keep it safe out there. Lunchtime Doctor is out.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.